Just like to say, once again, it's good to see each and every one here this morning. We thank God for your presence. We thank God that those of you we know that have busy schedules have set aside the time to come to this place this morning to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Some of our sisters and brothers has traveled great distance. Some from Fort Lauderdale to be here today, as well as Fort Myers, that we all might assemble ourselves together upon this first day of the week among the people of God to worship God. The Bible teaches us, God teaches us that we are not to worship things because things are not worthy. God teaches us not to worship people because people are not worthy. The Holy Spirit penned in the book of Revelation by John the Revelation said, "Thou art worthy." God is worthy, brothers, sisters, and friends, of all of our efforts and all of our praise. God is good. All the time, and that's not a slogan, and all the time, he's good. I have this lesson that I'd like to share with us this morning, coming from the book of Matthew chapter 17, and I chose for a subject is Hear Ye Him. And I read verses 1 through 5 for the scripture reading. The Bible says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taken Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringing them up into an high mountain apart." Now, when you read Luke tells us that is 8 days. The Bible is not contradicting, as Luke just tells us the complete time when the disciples were taken up into the mountain and then Jesus was transfigured. So the Bible is not conflicting. When you read Luke, you find that Luke says 8 days. But Matthew says it's the 6 day that Jesus was transfigured. And the Bible says in verse 2 that it said, "And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as snow." And Luke says that also that it was shining like the sun. And the Bible says that, "And behold," verse 3, "there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And verse 5, the Bible says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Well, let these passages of scripture this morning serve as our scripture reading. But before that, we go any further into this lesson, we always count this as a privilege as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father and spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again while the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. In this morning lesson, I just want to remind us of something. As you always hear me say that how forgetful we are as human beings. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, and I won't quote these scriptures, I'm just going to paraphrase them. Matthew 16 and verse 13, do we remember the story when Jesus sent his disciples into the city to see what men were saying about him? But when the disciples came back with the report, The disciple says that some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that thou art Jeremiah. And some say that you are Elias, or one of the prophets. You remember what Jesus said? He said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the Bible says Peter spoke up. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter made that great confession. And Jesus said unto Peter, said, blessed art thou, Simon Bojana. Jesus said, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now Jesus let Peter know that revelation that he had, that confession that he made, it didn't come from a man. Man had nothing to do with that revelation. It came from God, which is in heaven. And Jesus said, thou art Peter. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was speaking of the death that he should die upon the cross. Now, isn't it amazing? Peter made that great confession. And here it is, 6 days later, Peter also in St. John chapter 17, and we look at verse 5. The Bible says that while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. When Peter made the statement that, Lord, it is good that we are here. Now, he just made that statement 6 days ago, that Jesus was the Christ. He was God Christ. And Jesus told Peter that he was going to build a church. Now Peter is saying that it's good that we're here. Let us build three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. And the Bible says, while he yet spake, a cloud overshadowed him. And a voice out of the cloud spake, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Brothers, sisters, and friends, I would to God that every person under the sun could hear Jesus at least once. Isaiah spoke of a people that they have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. And these are the times that we're living in. Some of us remember the passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those people that were similar found out that they were in error. They had sinned. They had crucified the Son of God. And the Bible says Peter preached one gospel sermon, just one, and over 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. Now we can preach 3,000 sermons, and you might get one to obey it. We're living in our last days. But if people could hear what the Bible's saying, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. But it is in God's permissive will, in his plan of salvation, is to permit people to not to obey it, his gospel, but to reject it. But God is not willing that any should perish, I want us to look at a passage of scripture here, and we'll come back to Matthew. I want us to look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's look at those passages of scripture there. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, who would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? And the knowledge of the truth is that we will come to know what we need to do to be saved. The knowledge of the truth. The Bible says that, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man is Christ Jesus. We look at another passage of scripture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Let's see what Ezekiel has to say. Ezekiel chapter 33, and we'll look at verse 11. As the Brother Scott prayed in his prayer that as we meet people, we pray that God will give all of us the strength to let people know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we meet them. Ezekiel is saying that God set him up over the people of Israel to be a watchman to the people, that he may sound out the trumpet of what was coming to the people. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verses 11. Let me start at verse 10. He said, therefore, O thou son of man, he should speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sin be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? If we are aware of our sins, and we continue on our way in our sins, God said, how is it that we will live in eternity with him? Notice what it said in verse 11. He says, say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now, we are God Israel today. We are God people. And the Bible is telling us today as children of God, when therefore we have the opportunity, because we know the truth. We know the truth. And we refuse to let people know what the Bible says, the blood will be on our head. We have a responsibility as Christians. Therefore, when we have an opportunity, is to let people know what they need to do to be saved. That is our responsibility as a Christian. And the Bible says that if we don't do it, then the blood is on our head. Remember the story of Jonah when he went to Nineveh? God told Jonah to go east, and Jonah got on the ship and he went west. And the Bible tells us the story of that. When the whale swallowed Jonah, and he was 3 days and three nights into the whale belly, Jonah was say it was just like being in hell. And when the whale dumped Jonah out on dry land, the Bible says 3 day journey to Nineveh. You know how many days Jonah made it to Nineveh? One day. He was motivated. One day he made it to Nineveh. And he didn't want to go there because those people were evil people. But God commanded him to go there, and he went and he preached the gospel unto those people. Preached God's word. And they obeyed God's word. And God said because that they obeyed his word, he repented of the evil thing that would happen to them. When he said repented, God changed his mind over the evil things that he had for that city and those people. So you see, preaching the gospel, a Christian, we can change things through God's word. So as we look at the scripture this morning, we look at, well, the world always quote this scripture, St. John chapter 3 and verse 16. We see that all on billboards everywhere, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into this world to die for us, that no man would perish. The world quotes that scripture. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus came all the way from heaven, died upon the cross, shed his blood, and purchased his church with his own blood for us. That's what Jesus did for us. Now, Jesus told Peter that he would build a church, and he only built one church. Uno church, Brother Josh. Spanish. Uno, just one. One. But when you can Google this. You can Google this on your telephone. How many churches are there? And you'll find that there's over 30,000 different churches in this universe. 30,000. When Christ said he would build one church, he commanded that all men be members of that one church. Now you say, where is that in the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Let's take a look at it. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 13, notice what the Bible teach. It says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Notice what it says in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, you might say, well, now, that's really not plain. Now, the Bible says that, for we, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Well, let's look at another passage of Scripture. Let's look at Colossians, because we said we are baptized into one body. Well, let's find the body. Colossians 1 and verse 17. The Bible says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Notice verse 18. And he is the head of the body. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13? We're all baptized into one body. Notice what it says here. In 18, it says, he is the head of the body. Well, we know that the body is Christ. And he is the head of the body. And notice what the body is. The church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. And that all things he might become the preeminence, and that word preeminence means first. He said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Things in earth or things in heaven. When we get to heaven, the church in heaven will be named the Church of Christ. The church on earth is the Church of Christ. I think what trips us up sometimes is that You know, the world used all these different organizations saying this Christian school and this Christian church, and we get in a habit of saying Christian too, but realizing that Christians are followers of Christ. Those organizations out there are not Christians. They may be religious, but they are not Christians. Only Christians follow Christ. Acts 11 and verse 26 says, the people of follower of Christ were first called Christians at Antioch. Now let us go a little further here. Why would then, if Christ only built one church, and I want to look at another passage of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and let's look at that passage of scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. The Bible says, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him, which is Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So when the Bible teaches us back in 1 Corinthians that we are all to be baptized by one spirit into the body, one body. The one body is Christ, and the body also is the church. So we only should be members of the church of Christ in this world. But there are 30,000 different churches that we see that exist. In Genesis 3 and verse 19, Genesis 3 and verse 19 teaches us that we all came from dust. And we're all going back to dust. And when you see people cutting up out here in this world and kicking up a fuss, you say, what's going on with all of that? Dust. That's all it is. Dust kicking up fuss. And God could just say, and you're gone. Just dust. That's all we are, just dust. One, the Bible says that we came from dust and we're going back to dust. So how is it that a man that came from dust can start a church and then invite people to come into that church when he came from dust? God didn't come from dust. Jesus didn't come from dust. The Holy Spirit didn't come from dust. The Godhead is in heaven. And that's where Jesus came from, heaven. And man has nothing to do with salvation, has nothing to do with to be saved. Man has nothing to do with that. That comes from God. And we need to example these institutions out here that are inviting people to come into their organization that they can be saved. When the Bible plainly teaches there's only one place that we can be saved, and that is in the church that Christ built. That's where salvation is, the church of Christ. I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 17 once again. I want us to notice in the third verse of that chapter, when the Bible says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elijah, talking with him. Now, these men had been gone from this earth for centuries. And Peter and the rest of the apostles saw them talking with Jesus. In fact, one of the men went to heaven without dying. Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind, and the Bible says God took him to heaven without the taste of death. Now, Moses tasted death. And when we read about Enoch went to heaven without dying. God took him to heaven. Now, these men were talking with Jesus. When Peter made that statement, God said, Jesus, it's good that we're here. Let us build three tabernacles. You know, if God had allowed that, at least we would have had three churches. But God didn't even allow three. The Bible says, while he yet spake, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. You know, God couldn't say it about Moses, that he was well pleased with Moses. Because Moses did some things God told him not to do. Remember when God told him to speak to the rock? Moses hit the rock. Elijah was a great man. God found favor in him. But he sinned. So God couldn't say that he was well pleased with them, although he found favor with them. He said, but my son, I am well pleased with him. Hear ye him. And I want to just give us a few passages of scriptures this morning is to show us why we should hear Jesus today. The Bible tells us that he built this one church, and we all to be a member of that one church. And let us look at the book of St. John chapter 12, and we'll see why we should really hear Jesus. One reason we should hear Jesus is because God said so. God said we need to hear him. So he's well pleased with him. But in the book of St. John chapter 12, let us look at verse 49 and 50. St. John chapter 12. Notice what Jesus said. He says, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And if we listen to Jesus, we'll have life everlasting. He said, God's commandment is life everlasting. He said, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, he said, so I speak. So whatever God is telling Jesus to say, that's what he spoke, not of his own. Let's look at the book of St. John chapter 14 and verse 10. Notice what it says there. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. That's why we should listen to Jesus. There was a story about a Christian talking to an infidel. Person didn't believe God, didn't believe the Bible. He said, you know what? He said, the reason I don't believe the Bible is there's too many contradictions in the Bible. He said, you know, like God's in Christ and Christ is in God. It's too contradicting. And the Christian was living out in the country and he picked up a bucket. He said, come with me. And he took him to this well. Some people call it a cistern, but back in the country, they call it a well. He took this bucket and he let the bucket down into the well. And the bucket began to take on water. And the bucket was full of water. And he let the bucket down a little further. And the bucket was underneath the water. So he asked the infidel. He said, where is the bucket? He said, in the water. And where is the water? He said, in the bucket. So you see, Christ can be in God. And God can be in Christ. It's not contradicting. The word of God is true. In the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says that in verse 11, wherefore God also have highly exalted him, speaking of Christ, and has given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, will bow before Jesus. Michael Jackson, the king of pop, would one day bow his knees to the king of Jesus. Every tongue, the Bible says, will one day confess that Jesus is the Christ and bow their knees. We thank God this morning for you, those of you that precious like faith, that made your choice, your decision. Because the Bible teaches us that in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven is named." The whole family in heaven and earth is named the Church of Christ. That's where salvation is, brothers and sisters. So when Peter made that statement, "The Lord, it is good that we're here," just remember, the voice that came from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And 1 Timothy said, we all need to come to the truth, that we all might be saved. And here's the truth of salvation. We are the first hear God's word. This Bible, that's what we are to hear, is the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And after hearing God's word, we are to believe it. In the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So we must believe God's word once we hear it. And after we hear it, we are to repent of the way that we have been thinking, of the things that we have learned over our lives. When we hear God's word and we believe it, we need to change from that. And Luke 13 and 3 say, "I'll tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And after repenting, we must make the good confession. In the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "If thou would confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So with the heart man believe it unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." Now, the world teaches that you can be saved before you are baptized. The world says that the only thing you have to do is call on him, and you're saved. But that's not what the Bible teaches. At this point, you are converted, but you are not saved until you are baptized. And the devil don't want people to know that. Because once you are baptized, you come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's the only way that we can have our sins washed away. It's when we go down into the water, God says there's blood in that water. Jesus Christ's blood is what washes away our sins. That's the only way that we can get our sins washed away. This is the plan of salvation that God has for all mankind. And once we obey this plan and we stumble and fall and we sin and have brought reproach upon the church, we are to repent of those sins, make the confession, ask for the prayers of the church that we might be reinstated into the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. So this morning, as you stand this morning while we're saying the chosen selection, if you accept it to the gospel, you may make the good confession.